See, now he's got me thinking. I have my Hezekiah notes with me. Oh, why not? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to start reading verse 3 through 7, and then we'll drop down 15 through 19. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east. He said to them, "Listen to me, Levites. Sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our ancestors have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the dwelling of the Lord and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not offered incense or made burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." And down to 15. "They gathered their brothers, sanctified themselves, and went in as the king had commanded by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. The priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all the unclean things that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took them and carried them out to the Wadi Kidron. They began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then for 8 days, they sanctified the house of the Lord, and on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Then they went inside to the King Hezekiah and said, 'We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table for the rows of bread and all its utensils.' All the utensils the king Ahaz repudiated during his reign when he was faithless, we have made ready and sanctified. See, they are in front of the altar of the Lord." Okay, here's King Hezekiah. He begins his reign with a pretty ambitious project. This is day one of this guy. First thing he does, "I want all the priests, all the Levites before me." You have priority one, consecrate yourselves. Priority two, you get in God's house and you consecrate that. My dad, King Ahaz, stole from God, stole from us, and we are taking this house back for the Lord. Priests, you get in the holy place, the most holy place. Levites, you get to the inner court. Because the priests are going to go in there, and whatever junk they toss out, you pick it up, Levites, and you take it to the dump. Because there's going to be a lot of junk in there. King Ahaz was all about the pagan gods. And he barged himself into God's house to pacify these other religions, the gods of Damascus. And he decides, goes into the house of the Lord, takes the lavers, tosses them, takes the container of water, tosses that, goes into the inner chambers, robs the treasury, takes any utensils that he thinks he might use to go build altars for other gods, gods of the Assyrians, gods of the Babylonians, gods of the who knows whatians, and just does. Oh, and he does one more thing on his way out. He busts the double doors and then seals them up. So, every room that held the national treasures, the money, the gifts, the tributes, that's probably gone. Any receptacles to receive contributions to cover the costs of sacrifices and worship, probably gone too. So, he gathers up what stuff he wants and hacks everything else to pieces. So that means the priests have a lot of work to do. And they have not worked in quite some time. Ahaz made sure of it. So as soon as they get into the holy place, the priests, and see the lavers missing, and see the receptacle that was actually called the sea missing, they got to start right from the beginning. We got to get all of this stuff that's been hacked to pieces out, and then we got to bring in the utensils for consecration, for sanctification. This was no overnight job, and this was no one or two man job either. Just the names of the Levites, there's 14 of them. 14 named Levites. It didn't name the priests, and it didn't name the brothers that went with these guys in any way that they could help. And it still took 16 days to get this church ready. But as soon as the temple was ready, they went right out and told the king. He didn't waste any time with that news. He was so pumped. First thing he did, he assembled all of the city officials and said, "Okay, I have a job for you. I need you to bring 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 male goats. We're having a sin offering. Day one of the temple. Why are we doing this? We need God's mercy upon this kingdom. We need his presence in the sanctuary. And we want him as the king of the universe over Judah." While they're doing all that, he says, "You know what? We got to have some worship. I want all the musicians. I want all the singers. Priests, you're going to blow the trumpets." So he gets the Levites. He gets the cymbals, he gets the harps, he gets the lyres, he gets the priests with the trumpets, he gets the singers. And you know what they did? They sang, and they played, and they worshiped until the last offered animal was consumed. You have any idea how long that probably took? They had them some church. man. When that service completed, the people were rejoicing on their way out. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Now, how come we can't have that more often? Aren't we designed to worship Him? Aren't we designed to lead, to bring together other people for His plan? To study His plan? To discover His plan? Aren't we designed to be an arrow that points people to His presence? Now, we might be kind of a crooked arrow, but isn't it God that straightens us out? But here's, I think, why we don't have more and more and more of that in the churches up here. When Jesus came and delivered the bad news in Revelation chapter 3. And you know what I'm talking about. Church in Laodicea. When he says in verse 20, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Okay, churches, you want more of this kind of church that King Hezekiah ushered in? You gotta let Jesus in the door. We can't fulfill His purpose if the bridegroom is denied entry. Who does that in a wedding? Nobody. Well, if we're the bride of Christ, it's supposed to be His wedding day, so let Him in. He's the star. This is a call to action, people. You know what? He's still calling. He's issuing a call up for repentance. You know, I have a picture in my dining room of Jesus knocking on a door. And many people have seen that kind of image in assume that that means that it's Jesus knocking the door on the heart of an unbeliever. Here's Jesus knocking on a door of a church. What's with that? He's seeking entrance into His own house. Why? Well, it's his. It was built for His purpose. It was built for His fellowship. Here's Jesus talking to believers who have shut down. When the Holy Spirit comes, when He's allowed in, what's so mighty about Him is He points out, without sugarcoating or watering down anything, everyone's half-hearted effort, everyone's self-satisfied pursuits. You know what that kind of stuff is? The spiritual debris that the priests found when they walked inside that temple. It's worthless. It's junk. You take it to the dump. How about this for a novel idea? We let him in. We let him do the work. We let him come and pull the pollution and toss it out. Why don't we let him restore? Let him cleanse. Let him purify. Because then, you know what happens when you have a church like that? You become the one that everybody talks about, the one that everybody knows. Oh, that's, now that is a church. They are set apart for his service. That is what I want. That's what I'm after. That's, I've heard all of this stuff about Jesus and unconditional love. Yeah, and I've been to that house with the church on the sign, and guess what? All I see is junk on the floor. The spiritual debris. They trip over it. So how about this? We let him in. I think you had the right idea. We're to be instruments of righteousness. We're the utensils for his worship. And if every church had that same mission, we'd have to keep building churches because everyone would be flooding these. We'd run out of room and we'd have to build. We could do that too. There you go. That's okay too. Well, I don't know. We could even stand the cold because the flame of the Holy Spirit would just warm everyone up. It's all good. Lord, set us apart for your holy purpose. You are worthy. You're the King. We are your utensils. We are your instruments for you. Sanctify us so we can be used. Consecrate us so that our purpose is only for you. Repair our doors in our hearts. Father, we have inner chambers that we don't let you into. And we know that if we open those doors to you, we know you're going to find hacked to pieces things that you have given us, gifts that you have given us that we did not use. That we did not use for your purpose. We used them for ours. And that made them profane. We don't want the profane. We want only you. Throw out that debris. Sanctify and cleanse. Burn the incense in our hearts so that we are free to worship you. You can do it. You want to do it. Help us, like King Hezekiah and his priests, to just on day one, this is the day. This is the hour. We're not wasting any time. We're not wasting a single moment. Make us yours. Thank you, Jesus. Of his purpose, but you need support, you need prayer, you need a shoulder to come up alongside you to help you. The Holy Spirit is willing, Jesus is willing, your Creator is willing, and I am here in whatever capacity I can to assist you.